Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. There is nothing like a Tanglewood picnic. The expansive lawn at the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra brings people together to enjoy some of the most beautiful music in the world in one of the most beautiful places in the world. And as if that weren't enough, when enjoying a concert from the lawn, you can bring your favorite food and drink and enjoy it all in the summer sun or under the stars. The experience is captured in Gina Higham's new book, The Tanglewood Picnic, Music and Outdoor Feasts in the Berkshires. Gina, welcome back to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much, Sarah.
Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Where did you come up with the idea for this book?
I came up for the idea of the book while picnicking on the Tanglewood lawn.
That makes sense.
We've been in the Berkshires 10 years now, and every summer I've just been struck by the wonder and the spectacle and the obsession of the Tanglewood picnickers.
And you've written 12 books before this one. This is your 13th
book. This is my 12th,
I think. This is your 12th book.
Then we need to do the math.
I was like,
this is the 12th.
Okay.
This is the 12th, indeed.
And what about your other books led to this one? What did you learn through your other books that helped create this one and put it together?
Oh, so much. So this is my 12th book, but it's the first one that I've self-published, or independently published, as I prefer to think of it.
Sure.
So my previous books were all with major mainstream houses, Chronicle Books, Hearst, Andrews McMeel. And so through my other books, many of the books had to do with design and architecture and travel and the arts. I've been in the lifestyle realm of books for over a decade now, pushing two decades, actually. Anyway, so through the course of being a writer and an editor on those other books, I learned a lot about putting a book together in terms of design and choosing photos and structure. And all of those things came to bear when I decided to publish a book myself.
There's a lot of history at Tanglewood. There's a lot about the picnicking aspect of it, the lawn, that you could put into a book or attempt to put into a book. How did you decide what lines you would follow, what angle you would take to build your book?
Sure. Well, last summer, as you know, I came on WAMC and did a call for submissions. I asked people to submit photos and recipes and picnic strategy tips. So I was here. I did many other media interviews as well and, you know, put out the call for submissions every which way I could possibly think of. And my initial idea was Tanglewood is known for its very fancy picnics, people with their candelabras and their linen tablecloths and all that. And what I learned as the submissions came in was that the story was, in fact, much more complicated, that it wasn't just about fancy picnics. So I let the submissions inform what the content of the book would be, and it became a much richer story for that, for following what was real about the story rather than trying to impose my original idea.
And what was revealed to you?
What was revealed to me was that it's more than about the picnics, it's more than about the music, it's more than about this spectacularly beautiful place. It's about all of those things, but it's the combined experience of it is what adds up to this thing that everybody called magic. So every time I asked everyone with their submissions to answer the question, what do you love about Tanglewood picnics? And more times than not, the answer was Tanglewood picnics are magic. So I went on this quest to figure out what were all the elements that made the picnics magic.
And it's everything.
Right. So it's nature, it's music, it's the sense of artistic history there, that so many phenomenal musicians have performed there over the near 80 years now. And there's also this sense of personal history for so many people who were first introduced to Tanglewood as children and then who went on to bring their own children or their grandchildren and their grandchildren, not or.
Skip a generation.
Right. So there's the personal family element. There's also this great sense of creativity on the lawn itself. So my conclusion is that Tanglewood picnics celebrate both creativity on stage, but also on the lawn, on the blankets, that people put such care and creativity into their picnics. And the other thing that was surprising to me a little bit was how many people talked about Tanglewood picnics being a spiritual experience for them, that the lawn was their church or their temple. It was this place of great tranquility for them.
And how do you capture all of that
Yes.
In a book.
Well, my notion for the book was that it would be a collective love letter to the experience of picnicking at Tanglewood. And there were over 500 submissions in the end, which I boiled down to about 150 photos, as well as quotes from dozens of other people. I think that that you let the photos tell the story, and I tried to capture as many voices as possible, both current voices and vintage voices. I think by showing people, you know, kids doing tumbling, you know, or exploring the garden, or showing people knitting, drawing, doing crossword puzzles, reading, by showing just the complexity of playing board games, all kinds of things. So that helped reveal the whole story.
Of course. No, I thought it was excellent. The book has those quintessential black and white, very pulled together, classy 50s people on the lawn, and then people hanging out now.
Right. And it's teenagers taking selfies in 2014.
Right.
The book is heavy on material from the 40s and 50s because I just found those photos so compelling. I did research at the Boston Symphony Orchestra's archive in Boston, and also at the Berkshire Eagles archive in Pittsfield. And both of those sources proved to be just extraordinary, particularly around those earlier eras. The picnickers just looked so... They look so dreamy. The sundresses are just so beautiful. It was, you know, it was this pre-Gap, pre-mall era. So the clothes are really unique, and people dressed up to go. So that's very fun to see.
It's wonderful to see it. And then I'm also, as a very casual dresser, glad I don't have to do that to go there. Just pull it together a little, but don't have to sit on the lawn in a skirt.
Yeah. another source of great historic photos was a photographer named Erica Stone in New York City, who a friend of mine, Jane Feldman, who's another photographer who contributed a photo as well. She had been Erica's assistant, I don't know, in the 70s or 80s. And Erica was 90 years old. She's 91 now. And she took photos on the Tanglewood lawn from the 40s through the 80s. So when I went to her apartment in New York City and saw her archives, just my jaw dropped. The photos were just so extraordinary.
There are picnic item recipes in the book from chefs throughout the region.
Yes.
How did you call for those?
Well, so there are a dozen official recipes, and then there are wine tips and cheese tips from other local shops. Well, it was a mix of people who sent me their recipes, their personal recipes, and then like Wheatley and Blantyre and the Red Lion Inn. I'm going to forget some other contributors now, but anyway, inns in the Berkshires that provide picnic fare for their guests, I invited them to submit recipes as well, and they're fantastic.
To put a recipe in a book, I imagine you have to work from what you've written to test it to make sure that
yes.
that it goes. So like sort of as an extra step of proofreading.
Oh, no kidding.
Because 2 tablespoons of salt is a lot different than 1 teaspoon.
No, so I put out a call for recipe testers on my personal Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually the 4th book that I've produced that involved recipes. So my friends they're on tap to be recipe testers. But within a couple hours, I had 24 recipe testers. So every recipe in the book was tested multiple times and really evolved. I mean, even recipes that came in from professional chefs, to translate them for a home chef, it's very complicated.
I'm sure. I can only imagine.
So I feel very confident that if you make the lobster rolls from Cranwell or Fran Heller's beautiful sweet summer corn pudding, it will work.
Good. I'm sure. We trust that. You have some events, book launch events.
Indeed. So this coming Saturday, June 20th in Lenox, the official book launch party is happening from 1 to 4 at a beautiful new store called McKimmy Company. It's at 67 Church Street in Lenox. And Doris Barsaskas, who's the owner of the shop, she's going to make the Country Curtains famous whiskey sour punch that Country Curtains, the company, they have had a Tanglewood picnic for 50 years for their employees every summer, and they make this wonderful whiskey sour punch. So the owner of McKimmy is making this for the party, along with we're going to have little sandwich bites from Loeb's Food Town, which is the great little deli grocery store in Lenox, the Leslie B. Turkey Sandwich, which is a very famous, very popular deli sandwich that people bring to the lawn, which the recipe is also in the book. Anyway, so those will be available at the party.
And you'll have other events throughout the summer in the Berkshire region, and those are on your website.
Indeed. So if you go to tanglewoodpicnic.com, there's a link to the events.
Gina, the book is gorgeous. I'm so happy for you, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Sarah.
Gina Hyam's new book is The Tanglewood Picnic, Music and Outdoor Feasts in the Berkshires. The book is published on Gina's new imprint, Muddy Puppy Media. For more information, visit tanglewoodpicnic.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.